Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet.
You see what I was doing? I was kind of doing a Joker thing. Did you catch that?
I heard that,
Blake? Okay, let me do it again.
Hello, the internet. Welcome to season 332.
This is too weird for me. Episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday! Yeah! April 5th, 2024. Put it in the air. Put it in your hair. Put it wherever you want to, because it's First Contact Day. Shout out to aliens. Don't fuck us up too bad. It's Gold Star Spouses Day. It's National Flash Drive Day. Do people still use flash drives? The little keychain USB?
Constantly.
Flash drive,
exclusively.
Oh, okay, good.
I got hundreds.
Yeah. Also, National Nebraska Day.
There.
I said, shout.
What?
Let me just say, shout
I'm
out
the
National
co-host.
Nebraska
I'm allowed
Day.
To talk whenever I
You're
want.
Right. Okay.
That's the deal.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Not the guest this time.
You're right. You're
Sorry,
right. Go on.
Ahead.
What did you want? How did you want to interrupt?
I wanted to say that my will, my living will, is stored on a flash drive. Now it's your turn.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can I get that?
See, it's better if it's just said in passing and then ignored, rather than arguing. Let's start
but
over.
Don't, does, no, what happens if over. Wait? But what happens if that thumb drive is destroyed? Is thy will no longer actionable upon God's earth? So,
that's a great
thy
question.
Will be done.
So it would actually. I wear it around my neck like an alpine skier in the Swiss Alps. Like would wear a little thing of rum. So the upcoming AI Beethoven dogs will find me.
Wait, you're talking about wait? In this version, you're saying you wear a little thing of rum like a Saint Bernard does.
Correct. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. Beethoven, St. Bernard. Yes.
Okay,
I'm trying to make this a non-denominational, non-religious show. So,
thank you so much. Yeah, because we are not woke. We are not pushing agendas
No.
Like Bob Iger's Disney is, allegedly. It's also National Deep Dish Pizza Day, National Raisin and Spice Bar Day. I'm not a fan of raisins and shit. I'm sorry. Like, I'll eat some loose raisins, but I don't like it in baked goods. National Caramel Day. Do you say caramel or caramel?
I say caramel, but that has to stop.
Yeah.
That's something I need to change.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little... Like, who do I think I am?
All right.
It's caramel,
it's also,
isn't it?
It's also National Reader Roadmap Day. Yeah. Shout out to the people just using paper maps. And National Go for Broke Day. It has a picture of a guy climbing a mountain. I don't know what that means. But hey, I know what being broke is like. So here we are. There's that. Who am I? Guess what? It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. I love bad gum. That's bazooka problems. And yeah, I like to zook. I got bazooka problems. If Jughead ain't near is a bazooka problem, bring his ass to Joe. Maybe he could solve them. Okay, shout out to Jimboku over there for the ASAP Rocky fucking problems. Because we're talking a lot about Bazooka Joe recently. Mm-hmm. So shout out to that, AKA. And I am pleased to be joined by Daddy Longlegs himself.
Ooh.
The nicest guy in Philadelphia. The nicest guy, wherever he is, in any town he is, and one of our favorite people to have on the show, despite our ongoing feud off mic, which sometimes translates to mic, and I'm sorry if that tension is palpable for the listener, but guess what? He's here, and he's back. Please welcome Mr. Blake Wexler!
Oh, this is Blake Wexler, a.k.a. I can feel I heartbeat faster. Blake me home, zeitgeist. I don't want to let Miles go till Jack sees the light. Blake me home, zeitgeist. Listen to me, because my legs are big. Big old plumpers, baby.
Man.
Oh,
ho,
ho. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I've moved in. I've moved into the Zeitgeist house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have. You have.
I took over Jack's lease.
You have. Also, I feel like a lot of people don't remember the plumpers thing canonically does come from your appearance. That's when I think it was when we were talking about the recumbent mic, maybe, and your big plumpers, or what was...
I went through a phase where I was only doing leg-based exercises.
Yes.
And that lasted about 3 years. And yeah, so, you know, I was wearing a lot of elastic below the belt. And yeah, I still have the remnants of them. Not as much muscle on them anymore. It's disgusting, to be completely honest. A lot of hanging. Yeah. It looks like an old tarp, an oversized tarp over my legs, but skin.
Oh.
So yeah, but anyway, it's something that,
love that.
I think now that I've co-hosted two episodes, I believe now iHeart has to pay for my health insurance.
That is true.
So
that is true.
Pay for
that is true.
Surgery.
You can send yes, please send your medical bills. I'll give you an email address later. You can send it to.
Thank you.
I believe w.hocares@iheartinsurance.com.
Joaquin Phoenix. Okay, guys. What do you
think? We are thrilled, Blake, to be joined in our third seat by a repeat guest, actually. A wonderful comedian, musician, and look, comedy and music go hand in hand. We all know that these are timing-based arts. So, of course, one leads to, exceptional talent in the other. They have a fucking solo show that they're bringing, I can say internationally, Ian Lockwood, The Farewell Tour. He's bringing it to Brooklyn, Los Angeles, Maryland. I know that's a state in the first two were cities, but we will respect Maryland. We will respect the Crabs. And also, for the whole month of August, in Edinburgh, Scotland, for the Fringe, we've got Mr. Ian Lockwood!
Yay! Oh, thank you, thank you. You want to know how I got these scars?
Ian,
God,
welcome back.
Welcome Thank back. You. It's so good to be back.
Yeah. Like last time you were on, I remember I had known you from your previous work on the internet where you had your long blonde hair and then you cut it. And then you said, don't mention my hair, man. I'm trying to surprise my moms with my haircut when I
she
go back for the holidays.
So, so happy. She
yeah. It went
like,
well.
Oh, she was like, oh, what a nice change, huge smile on her face. I was like, oh, so you like it? She was like, no. And she just like grinned for the next 3 days.
Oh, I love that.
She hated the long blonde hair.
Right. Well, hey, look, it's good to see you. It's good to have you back. What's new with you? I mean, doing a show at the Fringe, I know a couple people we've had on the show who've performed there. Is that, to me, that sounds like the most intimidating thing ever because I just get to rant on a microphone every day and then move on. And move on. I don't have to perfect any. I can be as sloppy or nonsensical as I have to be. But for you putting together a show like at the festival of festivals for one person shows, what's your mindset like right now?
I am hyped. It's a lot of work, but basically the show is me doing like a Dua Lipa concert, an Ariana Grande concert, but very funny, very goofy,
amazing.
and I kill myself at the end.
Allowed
to say that on mic. Every show I kill myself at the end.
Because it is the farewell tour and you want to really make good on that. Okay,
exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. I get into a suicide pod at the end, spoiler alert, which we are building. now.
Wow. Wait, you don't want to hide that you want people to know that that's part of the show? I feel like that's kind of like the magic of like, holy shit, this guy's hanging out of the fucking pod.
I take the curtain off the suicide pod like 10 minutes in, and then I like goof around like I'm gonna get into it constantly.
Oh,
the show.
I love
I'm
that.
Like, oh, I'm gonna get in.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm hyped, but mainly I'm just going because I want to get a Scottish husband because I already have an American husband, and I just feel like it could work.
It's networking.
Wait, you said you
build it out.
You already have an American husband, or you said you don't want an American husband?
I do have an American husband.
Been
great
there,
guy.
That.
Been there, done that. He's great. Mm-hmm. I can have a. It's different countries. I can have a second.
I
husband.
Feel a Scottish. Yes. The Scots are really in right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hear a lot of people talking about being like, you know, I'll go to Edinburgh and maybe find me a little Scottish boo thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's Mary Queen of doing? Is she around still?
I think she might be dead.
She's okay. dead. And yeah, my grandmother, dead. Rest her heart, died a year or two ago, told me constantly that we were related to her. Now, I'm pretty Fantastic. Sure that's absolute bullshit, but well, I believe it.
Are you Scottish?
Says my grandma. Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. Ian Lockwood, definitely. I mean, Ian is already like a good British, you know, that, mm-hmm. that's a Scottish. He could be anywhere. English name. Lockwood. Like when it's two English words, I'm like, that's an English name.
Yeah,
Lockwood.
Exactly.
That ain't German. You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm going to go there and see someone who looks just like me. And maybe
yeah,
that
doing the
will be my
Spider-Man
husband.
Meme. You're like, yeah. you're Ian oh. Lockwood too?
You're going to see a few of you.
Yeah, right. Go over there. Yeah, really. Let's see.
And for the listeners who don't know, you will be doing your show like every single day for a month. And I can't wait to watch more of your videos, but it sounds like you, the way you describe the show is high, it's more high energy than, of course, like a lot of just like a pure stand-up talking would be. And I know stand-ups get exhausted from just talking like once right. a day for 30 days. When is your, do you know what your time slot is? Because people, these shows happen like during the day, in the morning, at night, like there's a bunch of different iterations of it.
My time slot is 10:20 p.m., which is actually exactly where I wanted to be. Late
That's
night
awesome.
Fun show. Yeah. And I threw in a bunch of dance. I don't know why. I'm learning to dance, and I threw in a bunch of dance breaks into the show. So I'm going to be
Amazing.
Tired.
Wow.
Oh, my
Amazing.
God.
Look, well, look, if you're yeah. in, if you're going to be out there, definitely check out Ian's show. Or if you live in Brooklyn, L.A., or the state of Maryland, mm-hmm. you know, just anywhere broadly in the state. You could be anywhere. Come anywhere. Through support. All right, Ian, we're going to get to know you a little bit better. First, we got to do what we do and tell people oh, yeah. what we are going to be talking about. There's been a lot of articles about how maybe giving Gen Z smartphones right at they were at the dawn of adolescence may have been a bad thing. There's a few different ideas mm-hmm. around that, but I think generally smartphones, I feel like we're in a place where people are kind of like, fuck, man, like, mm-hmm. is it that good anymore? Ian, where do you fit generationally?
I am Gen Alpha. I'm 13.
Oh, okay. Good.
No, just kidding. Yeah. I'm a mid-millennial, and I am seeing this for myself. I keep my phone in the other room now. Yeah. And also keep in mind, Gen Z lost like 2 years of development, like social yeah. development.
Yeah. Truly. Yeah. Truly. I know Poor that's kids. Like when I see videos of like these, I saw a video of these like young ass kids like at like a SeaWorld type park, like fucking with a mime who was just like performing like for no reason, like just fucking with him.
Oh, I thought you meant they liked him.
Nah, yo, we fucking with this mime.
I fuck with mime.
With the mime. Yeah. They were fucking with this mime.
Oh, that's sad.
And like, it was just kind of this weird thing. I'm like, what the fuck? Like when I was a kid, like you just know, like, yo, let the mime do their fucking thing. If you don't like it, then just talk shit, you know, and snicker behind, you know, like from your seat. Don't go up to them and try and blow their hat off. Anyway, I don't know why I bring that up. That's like me being like a crabby old man. Be like, leave that mime alone.
No, I think you're defending that mime. And speaking of, I do have a gripe with the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is they've rejected my mime act for 20 yeah. straight years. And it's gotten better. Just so you
Has
know.
It?
So maybe
I mean,
next year.
I remember when you did a preview show here in LA, yeah. I did it yeah. mime way. And I was sort of like, I don't know. It feels a little... I don't want to say derivative. And then you screamed and you cried. And I said, you know what? No, it's great. It's great. Actually, I'm sorry. I had any feedback at all.
No, I know. It was also a Mike Pence fundraiser, which I think is what a lot of people had the issue.
Yeah. issue with. When you said Mike's way, I thought we were doing Jersey Mike's and then Mike Pence came out. And I was
Yeah, Danny DeVito made a cameo, but anyway, but it hasn't gotten picked up.
I heard a few people went to the hospital. After the show.
Yes. They did. So we did have it catered by Jersey Mike's. And that was, I think, possible. There was a food poisoning incident. And if that has to be edited out, I apologize.
I also said, do not leave the tuna subs out in the sun in the parking lot all day.
No, on
and
the
you
roof.
Said, you said, I'm going to save money because then I don't have to pay for them to toast it. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think that's how. I think it's botulism. Anyway, it's okay.
No, correct.
All lawsuits have been settled and we can speak about it freely. That's why we just did now. And also, aside from the smartphones, we are going to talk about Twitter. Just gave a bunch of people the blue check mark. And people are like, I never fucking wanted this. I'm not paying for this. So we'll talk about that fallout. And also, because Monday is the total eclipse of the fart, we do want to just do a little quick eclipse conspiracy theory roundup because before we were just kind of talking about like how, you know, like how much people are descending upon different locations to view the eclipse. Now the fucking freaks have real ideas about what's really going on with the fucking astronomical event that we have going on. But anyway, here we are. This is the show. But first, we got to ask you, Ian Lockwood, our esteemed guest, what is something from your search history or what's something you recently screenshotted on your phone that's revealing about who you are?
Big, huge sweatpants. And I'm wearing some right now. I got sweatpants. I went on Amazon. I got sweatpants in an XXL. But here's the thing. You can get sweatpants that have jogger bottoms, that have cuffs at the bottom, and they tie at the top. So I'm wearing the world's biggest sweatpants right now, and I'm comfortable as hell. And I really recommend this to anybody.
Why so baggy? Do you mind showing the class?
Absolutely.
Really quick, if you don't mind modeling and standing
Hold
up.
On. We can only...
It'd be funny if he's like not wearing pants and it was a prank.
Hold on.
Do they look baggy? Lift your leg up. Lift your leg. Oh, whoa. you look like
your picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's,
wait,
it's
now why?
Fun as hell.
Now, why so baggy? See, I was doing another Joker thing again. I don't know
how I got these sweatpants.
You know, I got these baggy pants. I don't know. Just full disclosure, before we started recording, I say this a lot before we record. I go, in a way, we go. And it somehow bled into the intro. And now here we are doing terrible Joker bits. But why so baggy?
Well, I hate to admit this, but I have been taking hip hop class twice a week for this show. And so which is kind of embarrassing. I'm sure everyone thinks that I'm like a straight black guy from my voice, but you'd be surprised to know that I'm a 5'6" white guy, gay, very gay.
Wow.
And yeah, I know the voice completely betrays it.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. But I have been like, oh, I need big sweatpants for hip hop class, but they're also just really comfortable to wear.
Yeah. Well, pants. I was going to say like, because dancers have a specific style, like, you know what I mean? Like I used to, back in my day, you know, I used to date a lot of backup dancers. You know what I mean? So I've been to Millennium Dance Studio, you know what I mean? I've seen the classes go down. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I've seen Wade, you know, do some classes, but like, I've always been amazed at dancer style. Like, I can always clock a dancer sometimes, and I'm like, that outfit, that is someone who just came straight from a dance studio, because the pants are so fucking big, the shoes are so colorful, and I don't know that like, it's giving dancer. So did you kind of go in there and you're like, oh shit, I'm not on my dancer wave, really?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, no, I look dorky, I need to do this. That said, the dance instructors and the best dancers, the funniest thing they do is they wear their sweatshirts in the silliest ways. They'll like,
yeah,
tie
like
them.
Tying it, the sleeves, like a bag. Yeah.
Yes. And they dance the whole class with like a completely lopsided sweater hanging off of them. And I'm impressed.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean,
it's
again,
creative.
Shout out to dancer swag, because it's different. I remember like we had a, when we were having our kid, we had a doula who like, the second they showed up, I said, are you a dancer? And they're like, I used to dance about 15 years ago. I'm like, I know, because your sneakers are so fucking all over, like wild. Mm-hmm. Like they were giving dancer. What's something
you
that
are
you think
a truffle
is-
pig when it comes to dancers, I've always found. I do have a concern about the large
pants.
Yes, I have a concern that can't wait. I slept in like a double XL, maybe perhaps a triple. It must have been a double, and like a large like pajama flannel pant.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you said that you were going to sleep in them. Like this seems like you're doing the opposite. Okay. It's an active activity, but I would get kind of like trapped like in the pant, where I don't know if you've rolled around in your sleep with like a sheet. Where you kind of like roll around and then like you're uncomfortable, you have to like pull it off, but you're half asleep or something. But is that, would you bring, personal question, would you bring the large pants into the bed? Or is this, you don't sleep in a large pant? Like is this active, that's inactive? Your thoughts, and take as much time as you want.
more important than my response to that is, I have to say, I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Thank you.
I'm really sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, this iHeart Radio insurance is going to pay for the therapy. So of that traumatic experience, it was a nightmare.
Anyway, no, I don't wear them into the bed. But my husband shaved his chest for like an EKG recently, and it's scratchy, so I make him wear a shirt, and he's mad about it, and I don't care.
That is smart. That's like a symptom of a shaved chest that I feel like people don't initially think about. You think smooth, but it is, you're gonna get stubble unless you're up on it.
It's horrible. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I diss him every day.
What's something you think is underrated?
Okay, underrated. And this is kind of related to Gen Z, but I'm not dragging them at all. Underrated, drugs, sex, risk taking.
Yeah. Hell, use some of that.
I'm still on that shit. I'm sorry. I turned 31 like 2 weeks ago. I am still on drugs, sex, and risk taking.
What's the latest risk? What was the riskiest thing you just did recently?
I recently took mushrooms and went to a public sauna and like stayed there for like 7 hours and just sort of hung out.
That's risky?
How dehydrated did you get? That's the risk.
Pretty dehydrated, honestly.
Physically, I guess? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess people start looking like weird. Like you're like, yo, I think that person's face is like waving or something.
Yeah. And like, I jump off stuff all the time. I love extreme sports.
Okay, parkour.
I embarrassingly, I did parkour for like age 17 to like 25. I was huge into it. Wow. Yes. I was so into it.
You got a mixtape people can check out?
I got some videos I could say.
You got some footy?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yo. Absolutely. And it was cool. It was because I was in LA and so the gyms were run by like the stuntmen, like professional stuntmen. So I learned like cool tricks. It was still kind of dorky, but I liked
it. Legit parkour. Okay, yeah. Okay. Ian, what's something you think is overrated?
Okay. Honestly, voting. Just kidding. Not voting. I think, finally.
Someone
said it. You heard it here first.
This is also kind of related, but like, I think cell phones and the internet might be over. I think it's done.
It's just done. The internet... the internet just seems to be the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. And now it just feels like the cause of all and solution to some of life's problems.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
We'll get into it later, but like with Twitter, like everyone's mad about getting the blue check mark. I didn't used to get mad on the internet. I used to look up funny videos of people getting beheaded and... Mm-hmm. Learn how to make bombs.
Yeah, watching Home Star Runner and maybe some like gnarly car crash videos on evilchili.com or one of those fucked up websites that I remember looking at and people would be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, dude. This shit's on here. This shit's on here. And then,
you have to check. I think they still have, can I say the F word on this podcast?
Which one? You can try. Yes, of course you can.
Wait, actually, that's a good question. There was a site called eFucked, and it still exists. Do you know it?
Internet.
F-U-K-T.
Yes. It's all like porn bloopers and like cake
or
farts.
Just like really niche porn, like one where like a dude's dressed like as an alien. He got like seven dicks and shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, I was in my 20s on the internet too at one point. And I remember, and they used to do the wildest shit. They'd be like, headshot. There'd be like all kinds of weird sounds they would like edit into shit. Bro, I'm so glad I'm off that. You know, I'm mature. You know what I mean?
But that was better. Now it's like, oh, I have to see if 100 people looked at my Instagram story. No, let me go look at cake farts.
Right. Yeah. The golden era when it was just more like, it was just a sordid lake for us to sip from, you know, just
lemon party.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I miss it.
Oh, yeah. The hits. Goatsy. We all know. Look, there's so many of those things that were just for like, that's how you knew like someone was like, oh, you were like one of them weird, bad motherfuckers, huh? Because you knew about that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting running into those people where you would hear, because it was word of mouth. It was when word of mouth was still more powerful than the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, have you seen this video of a guy chops this thing off? You know, it's a website.
That's fake. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, don't. Yeah. It's Santa Claus is not real. Are you going to say that next? So, that's my Santa Claus.
If you want me to.
My
Santa Claus is that guy from the Body Modification Olympics or whatever that video is where he's... Completely, he's chopping off a wee wee. That's fake. Yeah. Sorry to debunk that. That's what I'm here for. I've done the research, so you don't have to. Yeah. But yeah, what were you saying?
Yeah, I don't even fucking care anymore that you just ruined that. So yeah, I don't.
Everything's fucking altered, man.
Internet access, some don't. Whatever. Go ahead.
No, but that was the thing. Like back then, you would just be like, "Yo, man, like, yo, have y'all seen this video?" And everybody would come over, and you would be like getting high and shit. Everybody gather around your computer. You're at my time, my fucking like desktop computer. I'm like, y'all not ready for this one. They're like, oh, and now. It's like so casual, like everyone's so desensitized. It really is like it's a terrible evolution that's occurred. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everyone's, nothing is like shocking anymore. And I think that's a really bad thing because I agree. Overall we become numb to like really horrific shit. But anyway, that's the internet of 20 years ago, of 15 to 20 years ago.
Yes. Huh.
Right before Obama became president. Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back and keep talking about this technology thing. But yeah, the smartphone thing. Let's talk about it after this.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A., I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. So there have been a few articles lately I've been just perusing that are some version of basically saying like Gen Z has basically been totally fucked over by being the first generation to get smartphones as children. And it's leading to, like, you know, measurably higher rates of depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, and not just in the U.S., but like all over the world. You know what I mean? Like these rates for depression and these other like anxiety and suicide rates, they were pretty stable in the 2000s and then rose by more than 50% in many studies from 2010 to 2019. And the problem, again, all over, not just the US or Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, the Nordic countries, many, many other countries have seen these sort of this sort of rise. And some of like these articles are written in kind of like a fucking bullshitty, fear-mongery tone. Like, there's one piece in The Atlantic that's sort of like saying, like, well, now Gen Z, quote, showing less interest in ever having children than prior generations and are more likely to live with their parents, which, again, coming from somebody who has been absolutely destroyed by, like, many recessions as I was coming into, like, young adulthood, it's not because I was on a phone. I think a lot of,
How many recessions do you have? How many were you working with over there? Two, three?
I graduated college in 2007, baby. I was walking into the world with my shiny diploma being like, yay! No, from college.
No, you're right. By the way, can I say something? I was going to have that corrected. I graduated high school in 07. You're old as dirt. But like, I'm not that old. Like, and obviously, you know, Ian's the perfect one.
I misspoke. Yes. I graduated college in 1907. You okay. know, so you I look saw amazing. The Great Depression. I saw the dot-com bubble burst. I've seen them all, baby.
Oh, my God. You've had a hard life. You served in multiple wars? Yeah.
Well, no, I'm a draft dodger. You know what I mean? I'm a pacifist. Yeah. I was
wondering where the rest of your finger was. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's just from playing Guitar Hero too much. I injured it. And then the doctor said,
you had a bad pick.
Yeah. Exactly. I had a bad pick. But again, like, so some of these are sort of like, they have that tone of like, it's just a generational, like, just weird thing where they're like, oh, what's wrong with them? It's like, we're fucking broke, dude. And also, like, we've been told, even millennials, we've heard about like taking care of the environment and global warming from a young age. And to know that very little is being done to really remedy all that adds to a bit of existential dread and a bit of a thing where you're like, yeah, like, fuck, can I afford kids? Is it worth having? Mm-hmm. These are all ideas people have. I think that's pretty normal. So I'm less thinking that smartphones have something to do with that, again, because there's a fucking housing crisis and everything costs so much more. But when you just look narrowly about, like, smartphones, how could they not have been affected by this technological sea change? Because the negative effects of social media, we've talked about a lot, but, like, even beyond that, there's just, like, just having this little information rectangle in your pocket that lights up 24/7 has rewired like all of our brains, not just younger people, fucking me, you, everybody. And I think the mere presence of smartphones, like even when we're not using them, are a distraction. And studies have also shown that people are more capable when their phones are, quote, in another room instead of nearby. Yeah. So that's sort of just broadly, I think, where we're at. So far, thoughts from the class on that? Do you find yourself being slightly burnt out? I know I'm on the older end. You know, I'm crusty and dusty and musty. But what about you, the people with less wrinkles and tighter skin than I?
Yeah, the surgery has been successful in that case. I do have some of the tightest skin. A skin that's about to snap
actually,
at any moment.
No, your binder clips are showing from the back of your neck.
Are they? Holding it back. You can't see them? Damn it.
I said, unbelievable. Don't go profile. Don't go profile on camera. They're going to see the binder clips.
Don't buy in bulk unless Miles has seen your binder clips before. Yeah, no, I went ski. I was fortunate to go skiing with my in-laws last week and didn't use my phone hardly at all. And it was because, you know, you're like going down the mountain with people that you enjoy being around.
You'd be an asshole if you're on a phone while skiing.
I need everybody to shut up.
I'm going live from this double black diamond.
The service on top of this mountain, 10,000 feet in the air, sucks. But I also, when I had downtime, like when you're on the chairlift or whatever that takes you back up, you don't have anything to do. And that's the time when normally you just start reaching for your phone. And the one thing that made me not reach for my phone is that I didn't want to drop my phone. So it was to preserve
high
the addiction.
Risk.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So that's I totally feel that.
Good indicator.
Ian, you said you do keep your phone in the other room. I think you said that when we started.
Yeah, I tried to. It is such a big difference maker. Even if you have it face down, you just don't look at it. I was at the sauna for my birthday a couple of weeks ago you cannot have your phone in the sauna because you can't be taking pictures of people.
But you can be on mushrooms.
But you can be on mushrooms.
Might as well. Yeah, entertainment right there for sure.
So maybe I'm not really increasing my attention span, but it was really, really... It was, and looking at the wood paneled ceilings.
Right.
And
yeah.
It was great. But It really is so, so liberating. I am trying to do it more and more.
Well, right. Because I think the thing that keeps us looking, right, this is what we've always heard about, the dopamine hit that you get, right? So we've already reinforced it with like beneficial behaviors. So like you get positive social interactions on your phone. But now, like, you know, we have a fucking just nonstop source of stimulation that we just can't fucking put down. And like, you know, I can get that thing where I get the phantom buzz in my pocket when I'm like, oh, my phone, and my shit is not even on me. And I'm like, fuck.
You have a cramp.
Yeah. No. It's not even so that. It's old. Like my nerves are just misfiring because it's like phone. But like even in 2018, the co-creator of the iPhone expressed concern about smartphone addiction and said, stress this, quote, our smartphone bottle needs to tell us we've had enough and suggested that government regulations might be needed if tech companies won't take this problem seriously. Spoiler alert for that person from 2018. They have not taken it seriously at all. Nobody has. And how, you know, I think because we think of it as just sort of this, like, it's a phone, we need it. But again, I think Gen Z comes back into this because they were definitely uniquely positioned as sort of guinea pigs in this mass social experiment because they were so young when the technology became widespread. And on average, Gen Z got their first smartphone at age 12. And yikes. Few remember a world before smartphones like even existed, right? And I think that's the other thing that a lot of people are saying, like in-person interactions are so important to the brain's development and swapping those out for virtual interactions may not have been a big deal for boomers or, you know, like boomers like me or even millennials. But for Gen Z, their brain's development was absolutely had to have been disrupted by sort of like this new technology, sort of like bing, 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 bing. Yeah. Do you like thumbs up? Do you like heart? Do you like this? Do you like this? Do you like this? Are you going to get your sense of self-worth? Are you going to derive it from what you're seeing on this screen? And I don't mean to say like all of it can be laid at the feet of smartphones, but it is very interesting to look at why, like in that era, what it looked like, because I didn't get a fucking phone till I was in high school. And even then, the fucking Nokia 3390, the most I could do is play fucking Snake on that shit.
Yeah.
You know what
hell
I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was not. Oh, hell yeah. And you know how you knew somebody was good? If they only used 3 and fucking 7. You know what I mean? Did you fuck with the 3 and 7?
I needed more buttons than just 3 and 7. Are you kidding me?
Dude, 3 and 7. But no, if that was efficient, man. If you only use 3 and 7 to move the snake around. Anyway, this is me being a boomer on my
are you using? Okay, let's talk about this. I don't understand please. How you're just using
so
3 and 7.
So you on it, 2, 4, 6, and 8 were your up, like left, right, and down.
Right.
But 3 was up and right. 7 was down or to the left. And it's not like you could do like contextually it made sense if you were going to like depending on where the snake was going to go. You can't go right again if you're already moving in that direction. So if you hit 3, you go up. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't have to condescend about it. But I do really feel.
This is my new show. Hey, how you play Snake, man? First question.
How you play Snake? Yeah.
What?
He keeps talking over everyone about Snake. It's like, there's threes
about
the
threes
seven?
And sevens. The fuck is up with this dude?
It's hard to, you know, change tones after that, but it is wild to me. Like, I do feel really bad for, like, kids, obviously, where we, of course... We have some sort of perspective, at least, where at least we know it's bad for us. And we know, like, we can intuitively say it's incredibly difficult. And that's the whole problem here is even putting your phone in the other room, we're bragging that we're putting a, like, half a pound object in another room. And it was like, yeah, I'm pretty, like, I'm mentally strong. I don't have to have it, like, right next to me. But it's still impressive. And then just kids, I just feel so fucking bad where... It's like you think about middle school and high school, that was just so hard enough when you would think that possibly people might be doing things without you, or maybe people were talking about you or something.
Oh,
and then it's actually it's tangible and you can actually see, because people are mean as shit at any age, particularly then. And then that's in your face. It's just so brutal. So I don't know what that solution is.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like, right, like new technologies have always been sort of like the fodder for irrational fear mongering about how like the young people, you know, whether that was video games or TV or jazz phonographs, you know what I mean? There's always something. But I think unlike these other ones, this is one where, like, you know, we've seen the research, like, video games doesn't turn people into fucking, like, violent fucking freaks. But, like, actual scientists seem pretty worried about smartphones and kids. I think that's, like, the one difference here with a lot of these other ones. And one neuroscientist is sort of sounding the alarm on how smartphones alter young people's brain chemistry, which, again, seems to be causing more anxiety or depression or even aggression. And I think you look at now, right? I know young people. I know some Gen Z people. You know, I got them in my family. You know what I mean? I know how to talk to the youth them.
But you got your finger on the pulse. Yeah, you
I got
it.
My finger on the pulse, baby. Yeah. And I say, hey, what do you mean you don't like Bazooka Joe? They're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? What are you saying?
Oh, my God. Wait, y'all don't watch A Different World? Okay, fine.
Where's everybody going? Why is nobody in here?
Wait, come back now. But, like, you know, but I even hear this, too, from young people. Like, flip phones, like, they're not really feeling it either. They're like, bro, I'm kind of fucking burnt out off this shit, too. And which also, I think, is the reason why we're seeing flip phone sales go up. Like, especially in the last year, more people are wanting just simpler, you know, quote, dumb phones. And would rather do, like, you always hear about digital detoxes or people cutting down on screen time, because I think innately we feel that there is just something slightly fucking off a bit, like when we're always on our phones and always like, you know, just engaging with each other in this like very non-personal way. But in other times, it's like having the phone be the source of like our positive or negative feelings for sure. So all that to say is I think I would fuck with a Nokia 3390 again. If they could just make it lighter. Because already, you know, look, Blake, you know this. We got the big thighs. So people know what model phone I have, because there's a fucking beautiful outline in my pocket.
Well, it tears through my pocket. They see it because constantly I just take one step forward and pop through just like selvage denim. It comes, it just rips right through it.
Would you do a dummy phone? Like a normal phone? Or you think, I mean, I think I would use it contextually. Part of me, like if I'm traveling, I kind of need other stuff to kind of orient myself to be like, oh yeah, where am I? You know what I mean? Like I don't have those kinds of innate skills. But other times in my day to day, it's like, yeah, I can check my email on my computer, text me if you need me. And that's really about it. Like the apps and shit. I was scrolling TikTok for so fucking long yesterday. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated.
It's crazy. And like for me, I think psychologically it's probably more than two things, but it's eliminating brainless use of it, like to have intent. So if I'm picking up my phone, I want to intentionally be like, I want to check my email for my career, or I want to send a text to my wife or whatever. You know, I want to post, even because we have to post these awful fucking videos, like, or I'm speaking for myself, like I have my awful stand up online. So it's like, I need to go on, I need to post my stand up. And, but then to your point, it's like why you should have it in the other room. It seems like that eliminates the mindless, like, oh, I feel my brain isn't doing anything right now. I'm going to just mindlessly pick up my phone. My phone automatically floats to Instagram, automatically floats to TikTok. And I think also it's actually comprehending and putting rules in place about how available you actually need to be.
Right.
Where I think that's another reason why I personally use it a lot, where it's, oh, am I going to miss whatever opportunity this, you know, headlining weekend? Are they going to immediately pick someone else if I don't look at my phone for 10 minutes? Like, that's no. So they will. they won't reach out at all. But no, I think it's intent, and then also having being actually conscious and critically thinking about how available do you actually need to be versus what you perceive.
Right. For sure.
And boredom is so important. Like, boredom is where you're creative. Boredom is where you rest. It's where you reflect on things. You gotta have breaks and you gotta be bored sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The nonstop stimulation is not a great thing. Like, I just think too of like, before I even got a computer in my room, like as a kid, right? Like, I was so into like whittling fucking sticks, dude. Like, I remember when I was like
in 1907.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You were a whittler.
Yeah, just whittling an old corncob pipe for Pappy and me. Like, I remember, like, I did, like, one summer camp, and, like, a fucking counselor had, like, a knife and, like, sort of, like, shaved it off and, like, made it, like, into a spear. And I begged my parents to give me, like, a pocket knife. I remember I begged them. Mm-hmm. And then when I was like 11, they're like, all right, motherfucker, like we think we can trust you with it. I had that shit. Bro, all I was doing was just shaving sticks down, doing all this shit. Had this little like stick collection of fucking little like walking sticks and other. I'm like, oh, yo, you want to see a good? Like, I used to be that kid. They're like, yo, you want to see a good one? Like, I would say shit like that. And I know now, like, I think about that too as a parent. I'm like, I hope, you know, like, you just need these kinds of weird little things that are like tactile or, you know, just kind of for you that you can just kind of zone out while doing without any attachment again to like, will this get likes? Will this get, is this, will this get clout? Will this help me? What am I showing other people? And just be like, no, this is me with my little sticks. I got to see if my mom has it. She probably threw them a good time.
I'm laughing at your prolific stick whittling where the camera zooms out and the whole area around your childhood house is like a Fern Gully level deforestation just from you chopping down all these trees to whittle all these goddamn sticks.
No, I remember, dude, there was one time we went on a fucking hike in Griffith Park. I found this big ass fucking branch. Big ass. Like, this shit couldn't fit in my fucking parents' car. And I was like, we gotta bring this back. And they're like, you're not dragging a fucking 60-pound branch back to the fucking car. And I remember being so fucked up about it. And then I was like, well, it snapped me off this part. And then, like, I was allowed to take that part back. And I got that shit down so smooth. And then I was like, yo, Dad, I need some sandpaper. I want to get this shit. Again, these are the sort of things that are born out of, like, your childhood boredom rather than kind of, like, going out there and... And again, I know that like kids are much smarter these days, so I'm not holding them for having access to this information. But that's where, again, I'm old. I'm from the silent generation, and it used to be about stick whittling.
And nobody gets kids knives anymore.
No,
that's true.
Bring that back.
You know, a knife teaches a kid responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't go waving that thing out. But now, like, again, I feel like there's probably like all these videos on like how to start a fucking pyramid scam just with a pocket knife and like, you know, kids going the completely wrong direction. I'm just trying to get whittling back. You know what I mean? Or be a pyromaniac like I was.
Yeah.
You know,
by the way, you know what would look so sick for the three of us? We got to get flip phones, belt holster.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
We look so good.
You know that's coming back. You know that shit's like the way mom jeans have come back and all the like dad shoes and shit like that. I'm telling you, people are going to start rocking the fucking gigantic Bluetooth with the fucking mic piece, like the mic arm on it. You know what I mean? Like, you're taking a business call with the phone holster tucked in, polo shirt with a leather braided belt, and some like leather braided sandals. You know what I mean? And that'll be called drip. You know,
I just remembered this Key and Peele sketch. I think it was called Black Republicans, where Keegan and Jordan, first of all, everyone's like wearing like their pants and just they kept pulling up their pants like over and over again and kept saying, we're not a monolith. We're not a monolith. Right. But they were all wearing the exact same outfits, like with the holster on their, you know, like the phone holster pulling up their pants in the same. it's a great sketch if you want to check it out.
We're a pretty diverse group.
Yeah. We're not a monolith.
I think that was another thing. Yeah. Pretty diverse group. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to talk about blue checks and the eclipses right after this.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A., I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Twitter. Not going to call it X ever in my life. Ever. You can't make me do it. You're not my real dad. But thanks for the pocket knife, Elon. I won't do it. So Twitter, I mean, look, they had this like verification paid subscription system, obviously, when the blue check no longer became about like being like, no, this is, you can trust that this person is who they say they are. They are verified and became like, hey, you want to give Elon a couple bucks? But apparently, Lord Twitter himself, Elon Musk, just decided that everyone with at least 2,500 verified subscriber follows will be given a premium account. And people with more than 5,000 will get a premium plus account for free. Ooh. And I guess the premium plus just means they have access to that thing, Grok, which is the anti-woke chat bot, chat GPT thing that just tells like the worst fucking jokes that you've ever heard. But I know someone is probably taking that material to some open mic somewhere as we speak right now. I'm sure of it. But now
you don't have to put me on blast like that, but go ahead.
Well, look, you didn't have to cop to it, but it could have just been a subliminal that I hit.
No,
but look,
no,
I'm glad
no,
people know.
You don't know what your tone's like, do you? When you speak, it is...
You don't know what your tone's like, do you? Yeah. I'm just raised eyebrows looking at you the whole time. Yeah, man. You know, some
through
people
the back
just...
of your head. Yeah. It goes, it circles your head. Your eyebrows.
But now this means that pretty much anyone with a large number of follows, I think unless you're probably the kind of count that deals with actively shit-talking blue checks, you probably don't have that many blue checks following you. Good for you. Pretty much all of those accounts with like the large followings now have the blue check mark, and it's like embarrassing all these people. I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, but all these people who are just like, yo, I never fucking ever would ever fucking do this shit. Who do we have? There's Marcy Wheeler, who's like a legal journalist who covers a lot of stuff in DC. Just did quote, shit, I've been forcibly blue checked. Another writer at Wired said, Lauren Good said, my blue check is back. And I just want to make it clear, I am not paying Elon Musk for this. Thanks very much. Yvette Nicole Brown from Community. She said, what happened? I didn't pay for this. I would never pay for this. Then another person, MSNBC host Katie Fang, also said, what's with the random blue check I didn't ask for or pay for? Mark Hamill of Star Wars fame, I didn't pay for mine either. People, please don't judge me for my complimentary blue check. Everybody is so sensitive because I get it. It kind of became like the blue badge of dishonor for those that had it. You're like, yo, bro, you're really giving Elon a fucking really like that? Like, for what? For what? And he described it, or he basically responded to all these tweets by saying, he said, such ingrates. Yeah, I guess. Thanks for that. They're so ungrateful. They never wanted it. They're like, they're ungrateful because you gave them a thing they never wanted and actively made a point to not have. and they're ungrateful. It sounds like you forcibly gave them a shitty thing that they never wanted, and you're violating. Really, that's what it sounds like.
He's such an asshole that something as banal and just like boring as a blue check now has become a he's made that controversial. He's such a fucking pain in the ass,
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of anyone with a blue check that now, you know, like it generally does say, not about everyone, but it does say something. That's what the inference is, you know, that you're supporting Elon Musk and you support what Elon, right, Musk stands for and the stupid shit that he says. And it reminds me a little bit, there's a comedian named Luke Giordano, and he had a really funny joke about isn't it crazy that now when you see an American flag in someone's Twitter profile, it's like, whoa, okay, Nazi. You know, right. Now all of a sudden that's been co-opted by these groups where it should just be the flag of a country. But it's been, I said co-opted. Should I say co-opted a few times? I'm losing,
sure,
steam.
Sure.
Co-opted.
Okay, thank you. One more time.
And co-opted.
Oh,
I'm out here being like, yeah, I think not enough blue checks. I'm like, thank God. I was like, don't jump. I'm like, I don't have enough followers for shit to be popping like that. And I'm not even on that shit enough for it to be like, oh, yeah, OK. But yeah, it is funny just to see how toxic the entire brand has become. But hey, you know, we're not here to cry tears of pity for Elon Musk. It's just
no.
I hope you fuck right off, asshole.
Such ingrates is such a thing that someone who owns an emerald mine would say.
Yeah, truly. Right. It is very Marie Antoinette-y, you know, such ingrates. And then goes back to I don't know, fucking making people that he stole from the Orient dance for him, in some weird fucking scene from a 19th century movie. Such ingrates. Now keep dancing for me as I smoke my opium. Anyway, so moving on, though, we have the eclipse coming Monday. You're in New York, right, Ian?
Yeah.
Do you have any, you're not quite in the path of totality, but I know 29 counties in New York are. Do you have any eclipse plans? Are you trying to see it?
I'm definitely going to stare at it. I am kind of done with seeing, and I think this would be an awesome way to go out.
That's risk taking. That's the third principle.
That's risk taking.
That's risk taking.
There it is. Yeah. Man, you kind of got some big stuff coming up. Don't need my, you know what? If I have weird spots in my vision, that's fine. I mean, I've always said if it were closer and I had planned more, I definitely would probably do mushrooms and want to have the totality sweep over me just because the videos that people are just like, oh, and I know there's got to be something to it. And it freaked the fuck out of the ancients. So just for that, I feel like it's worth something. But anyway, we have the total solar eclipse happening on Monday. But, you know, just because we're not in the time of ancients, it doesn't mean our current society is too good for fucking weird ass backwards conspiracy theories. And there's just a lot. There's a lot of these fucking weird ones. Alex Jones, remember him? Mm. He's out here screaming that the eclipse will be accompanied by Masonic rituals, okay, that will usher in the new world order. I don't know how, again, how any of that works. Others have also claimed that the various counties in Texas and Oklahoma, which have declared a state of emergency, many have because they're just merely saying there are going to be so many people coming to observe the eclipse that they just need to preemptively be like, yeah, we might need all hands on deck in case people get hurt, whatever, that because of that, the states of emergency have only been done to, quote, kickstart a billionaire-led new world order, which, again, obviously has anti-Semitic tropes there, too. But why this wasn't done during any previous eclipse? We just had one in 2017. Y'all were pretty quiet then. Huh. Unclear. There's a project that NASA, this is also getting a lot of attention. Apparently, there's a NASA project on Chincoteague Island, shout out Mr. Whippy, the ice cream place, which will fire rockets, quote, at the moon during the eclipse. And again, it's not because NASA's like, yeah, dude, we're about to fucking bring the return of Satan or something by firing rockets at the moon.
Well, they're trying to stop it. They're trying to stop the return of Satan.
They should just say
it comes
that.
From the sky, of course.
They're like, are you serious? You think we're trying to do something bad? We're trying to fucking stop the Prince of Darkness from descending on our fucking mortal plane. Are you fucking for real? You should be thanking us. That's what we're doing. We're protecting y'all from Satan. Obviously, they're there to do actual research about aspects of the sun and the earth that you can only achieve when there is an eclipse. But the thing that also has people's attention is the acronym APEP, A-P-E-P, which is a nod to the Egyptian snake god of darkness. Oh. And a far-right influencer believes this will lead to the occult doing rituals performed by the, quote, Brotherhood of the Snake.
Hell yeah.
Who, unless I'm mistaken, I think were the villains of the first Conan movie. But I don't know. That's for someone else to look into. But again, this is just to look at how the fucking magnetic and electric fields change during an eclipse. And again, it's to do research on aspects of the sun and earth that are only possible when the fucking moon temporarily blocks the sun's light. That's all. It's not because it's going to be Snake Fest 2024 with, you know, who knows what coming in to be our new overlords. And then on Reddit, it's so funny. Like, people on Reddit, like on the conspiracy theory subreddit, they're saying this: the eclipse could lead to a massive human sacrifice. And when you're like, well, where'd you get that? They're basically just like laying over the path of totality from 2017 and the path of totality from 2024, and where the two lines intersect. They're like, right there. That's exact. Like, what does one have to do with the fucking other?
X marks the spot. And what's going to happen in that spot other than a mass sacrifice?
Massive human sacrifice. And you're like, what does that even mean? Like, what? They said it could trigger the New Madrid fault line. But the whole thing is, they'll make it look fucking natural, but it's man-made. And it could be a serious loss of life disaster for the United States. I'm not sure, but if things were that easy to explain, I don't know, man. Shit, maybe I should just start dealing in these conspiracy theories. I could come up with way better shit than this.
I feel like there's a more fun, less stressful way to conspiracy. You know, like, it doesn't have to be a mass sacrifice.
Yeah. It could be like, if you have asthma and you are in this specific spot, your asthma will be cured. Like, I like that. That's like a low risk scam con job to pull on people. You know, I mean, but then like, unless you have severe asthma, it's only for just very, you know, not as severe, less intense asthma. If you're using a nebulizer, sorry, this eclipse will not help you. Maybe stick around for 2044.
This is an albuterol situation, exclusively.
Definitely.
A red inhaler.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And given the state of how much our medications cost, people will be like, shit, man, these inhalers cost a lot. Maybe I will go there to get healed by the eclipse.
Yeah.
That's a low stake one. I feel these like
people
that could
are
be
crazy.
Fun.
They don't even know what's really going on.
Yeah.
What is really going on, Ian? I'm sorry.
Oh, what's really during the eclipse, me and all the other LGBT people, we're going to do spells to make people gay and trans. It's awesome.
Yeah,
okay,
wait.
See, that was another concern that I had. Yeah, that I didn't know how to bring it up with you, so I'm glad you brought it up yourself.
I was going
to
ask. Yeah.
Well, don't worry.
You have any insight.
Everyone, the way it works is each person can only pick one other person, so we're just going to double, which isn't that much.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Oh, now I'm going to be upset if I don't get picked.
I'm so sorry.
In your mind,
in advance. Blake, you're not on the list.
I'm not picking you.
No one's thinking about me? Nobody? Not
sorry,
at all?
Guys.
God,
this is like a smartphone. Literally, this eclipse is a smartphone.
Feels like I've been left out again, man.
I'm sorry. I'm doing David Harbour.
That's a great
Stranger
pick.
Things.
From Stranger Things.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's a
great pick. There's a whole spreadsheet, too. Like, that's what Alex Jones would be like. Here's an exact spreadsheet where all the LGBTQ people, they check off which person that they're going to focus on to make them LGBTQ during the eclipse. Okay? And they make sure that there's no redundancy because they want this to be the most efficient operation absolutely possible.
Yeah.
There is going to be an armada of David Harbors, of gay David Harbors. There's going to be a whole armada. There's going to be an Admiral David Harbor of the whole armada. And they're going to have to send him out of this country. And there's going to go to the landlocked states. There he won't be spared. They will not be spared.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
What it's going to be awesome.
What a fragile world he must live in when it's like someone can make me gay by thinking about it. That's the fucking danger. Although I know it's just to kind of keep homophobia alive in the air for his audience. Mm-hmm. But my God, either way. Hey, but let us know, Zeit Gang, if you do live in the, like, are going to be in the path of totality, please fucking take a video, please, for me, so I can live vicariously through you, okay? Because I'm not going to be able to make it. Jack, you know, he beats himself up.
Yeah.
Talking about how he thought it would be a good idea to go. He like last week thought, oh, maybe he could figure out something. He's like, everything is just sold out or like just prohibitively expensive. Never mind. I thought maybe I could take my kids to see it. But hey, let us live through you if you happen to live in the path of totality. You know what I mean? What's so funny, Blake?
I'm sorry. It's just the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Last minute eclipse plan gone awry. Yeah,
even if you like it was cheap, it would be like, don't do that, Jack. Come on, like, don't just turn the lights off in your house. Like, you don't have to do that. And then it's too expensive to go. And then the travel is like, oh God, I'm sorry.
Do you wait? Hold on. Are you not interested in the eclipse?
No, I'm also glad you told me because I didn't know this was coming and I would have been like, God, am I hungover? This is a really bad hang. What happened?
It's not hitting Philadelphia, is it?
No, I think it's too far west. I think it's Western New York is the closest.
Like Indianapolis is going to be a huge spot. Yeah. Like near like Buffalo, New York. Like
Burlington.
Vermont. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Montreal, Quebec. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, lucky.
I've always wanted to plan, I'm sure I would get fucked out of this, but like a stand-up date during like a big event like that, you know, where they have to pay for your hotel anyway, where like, you know, like Burlington has an amazing club. I don't know if you've ever been there, Ian, but it's called like Vermont Comedy Club. And it's one of the best comedy clubs in the country. And it's like, God, if I can't get there during the path of totality, you know, well, I guess it's on a Monday anyway, but. Or the Super Bowl, like, you know, doing stand-up in Vegas during the Super Bowl or something.
Right. Yeah,
I'm sure they would just get a bigger act.
I think the next one will be visible in the United States in 2044. So you have some time to get your clout up.
Well, you know? I might have to be the one after. It might have to be 2066.
666666. Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Why not? Path of the Aardvark or whatever.
Look,
the fuck.
bring on the Masonic rituals and whatever, mm-hmm. what have you. I'm really curious. It's so funny. Like, we never check in with, like, these fucking freaks the day after they say something's going to happen. And they're like, what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, well, just the deep state cut it off because we brought too much attention on it. Oh, okay. Just like that, huh? Well, bless you. Yeah. Bless you. You still owe the Sandy Hook families a lot of money, Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us. But Ian Lockwood, thank you so much for joining us. Where do people find you, follow you, engage with your work?
Find me online on all platforms at Mr. Ian Lockwood with an MR. I wish I had Ian Lockwood, but it belongs to a dead city planner.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, what city planner?
I think he did a dead one. I think he did Fort Lauderdale, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's just someone that it's just there. It's unmovable.
Yeah. Basically, I think he's probably in hell. So. That's just my guess.
All right. Is there some tweet or work of media that you're enjoying?
Yeah, I've been reading his gravestone a lot. It's been awesome.
Who was he survived by?
Here lies this fucking herb.
Yeah. I also saw Problemista recently, which I really, really liked. Highly recommended. Yeah. Good movie.
I've heard really great things about that.
Yeah.
Blake Wexler, what about you?
I have a 1-hour stand-up special called Blake Wexler, Daddy Longlegs, which is streaming on YouTube right now. And then some road dates. April, I'm going to be in Cincinnati, Philly, and Brooklyn. A lot of people, last time I did the show at Strong Rope in Brooklyn, which I would love to have you on at some point, Ian. A lot of Zeitgang came out. One of them offered to buy me a beer, and then I told them I drink for free here, and then I got taken away. So that was, I apologize if I was rude. I think his name was John or Joe, but it was a fantastic person to meet. And then in May, I'm going to be in Bristol, Tennessee, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So you can get our tickets in my link tree at Blake Wexler social media.
Wow. And do you still have nudes in bio?
Nudes in the bio?
Yeah.
They're just pinned. In the photos. they're pinned to my post, yeah. To my grid.
Okay. Is there a tweet or other work of media that you're enjoying?
Yes. And Ian's going to be in Maryland. This is and then hard break talking about a sad thing and then a funny thing. This is about the bridge collapse in Maryland. This is a tweet from at Roy Wood Jr. And he said, dude who survived the bridge collapse and declined hospital declined a hospital trip, for sure had a woman to get home to. A hospital holding you up. The later you get home, the less likely she's going to believe you. You want to get home soaking wet at 4 a.m. or dry in a hospital robe at 10 a.m. Choose wet every time.
Oh, my God.
Less shady.
A tweet I like is from show fave Blair Saki at Blair Saki tweeted. You could just hear it in her voice. Last night I opened one of my sets with "How do the holes keep in the piss and shit when we're asleep?" And let me tell you, everyone just stared at me dead silent.
She's so funny.
Oh shit. Oh, man. Big Dog, I believe, is the name of her special. You should check that out. Yeah. And you can find me at Miles of Gray, Twitter, Instagram, all those places that have ad symbols. Hell, fucking Threads even. And then you can find us. Or you also find me on my other basketball podcast with Jack. Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Also on 420 Day Fiancé, talking about 90 Day Fiancé. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram, Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Oh,
thank you, Scoop. Thanks, Scoop. you can also find out the song we ride out on, which is going to be this track, which is a really interesting. There's a band called Karate Boogaloo, and this track is called One Hand, One Bounce. And again, a fucking another band from goddamn Australia that's absolutely fucking killing it. I can't fucking believe how many fucking Australian bands that I'm like listening to. Like every single one's like, they're from Sydney, they're from Melbourne, they're from blah, 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 they're from Western. Great, great.
Yeah, that does sound annoying.
No, it's just like wild, like when you have these like, this like, it's just wild creative boom period. And it's like so specific where it's like, I guess, especially it's music that I really like fucking fuck with. It's like vibey, more instrumental R&B. It's just like really good shit. This is, again, instrumental, vibey track. Feels like something that would have been like sampled, but this is a new band and they're doing fucking, it's really fucking dope track. One Hand, One Bounce by Karate Boogaloo. That's where you find it. That's going to do it for us today. We will be back on Monday to tell you what was trending over the weekend. Until then, have a blessed day and a weekend. Okay, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.